Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and last week, you may remember, we had on filmmakers behind each of the Oscar-nominated feature documentaries. We came away, though, wondering how someone would even begin to compare these five very different films. In advance of this Sunday's Oscars, therefore, we ask, what makes a best documentary? This is going to give you something to watch for on Sunday. Is it how good a movie is or its cause? Joining me to talk about this are Dana Stevens, film critic for Slate, and co-host of Slate's weekly podcast, The Culture Gap Fest, and Matt Zoller-Seitz, TV critic for Salon.com. Dana and Matt, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
Hey.
So, Dana, let's start with you. These films differ in content, of course, but also to a large degree in style. What would be your criteria in picking a winner here if you were voting for best documentary when we look at the range from, you know, Gasland to Exit Through the Gift Shop? They're so different.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of two questions. I think last time I came on to talk about Oscars, we had the same problem. There's this bifurcation of what I might pick, what I might vote for, what my criteria might be for a great doc, and what you predict is actually going to win the best doc. In documentary, it's sort of hard to predict what's going to appeal to the voters in any given year. I think my vote this year would be Exit Through the Gift Shop because it's the most formally daring of the documentaries, but that's not necessarily, in fact, is probably the opposite of the criterion that might apply for Oscar voters. Then again, it's very appealing and has mass appeal, so it's possible that could take it.
So when you say formally daring, you mean as a film? It does things that other films haven't done before, this kind of movie with documentary within a documentary, leaving you curious as to whether it's a hoax, all of that stuff.
Yeah, it does this thing that quite a few documentaries have done this year and recently in general, right? The Joaquin Phoenix documentary to some degree, and Catfish, and this, where you're not quite sure what's staged or whether anything is staged. And the Banksy doc, because of the anonymity of the author, really leaves that wide open.
In that one. So Matt, same question. What do you look for? If you were a judge, what would you look for in a best documentary? How much about creative movie making, which Dana was just focusing on? How much about the good cause that you want to give more publicity to? How do you balance these things?
Well, I can speak only for myself and say that if I were picking a best documentary, I would probably go with whether or not it's advancing the art of nonfiction film. And that often comes back to form. Message is important. Entertainment value is important. But are you doing something new, or is it a variation of something that's been proven? And I think Exit Through the Gift Shop is clearly the winner in that respect. And the other four are, to greater or lesser degrees, kind of classical in the way that they go about telling their stories, although they all have merit. But Exit Through the Gift Shop, as Dana was saying, is uncategorizable in a lot of ways. There's some question. I've heard some people asking, does it even belong in this category?
Right.
It's not documentary. It's not fiction. It's some kind of quasi-experimental prank almost.
I also wanted to add that there's another great thing that documentaries can do that has nothing to do with formal invention, which is muckraking. And I think Gasland is an example of a documentary that does some really, really good reporting and actually uncovers a brand new story. It's pretty classical in style, but it does something that only a documentary can do, and it's a very important function as well.
Although only classical, this is kind of funny, though. It's only classical in the sense that it's got a touch of Michael Moore, kind of Roger and Me, and its feeling, but Roger and Me, I'm pretty sure, was not nominated for Best Documentary when it came out. And in fact, the Best Documentary category, it's funny how it mirrors the Academy as a whole in not necessarily breaking new talent, breaking new form, calling people's attention to new ways of telling a story, but rather coming in after the audience has already found it, often years later, and saying, now we're on board.
We just have a few minutes. I wonder, and we're going to play some clips too, so that's going to take some of the time, but if there are any documentary filmmakers listening right now, what do you aim to do with your work? Is it to inform? Is it to muckrake? Is it simply to present information in, you know, an interesting movie-making way? Call us if you're a documentary filmmaker, 212-433-WNYC. Do you get angry at movies that are kind of too entertaining because you're very earnest as a documentary filmmaker? 212-433-9622. And meanwhile, we have some clips from three of the nominated films, and we'll play one from Inside Job, directed by Charles Ferguson. This is about the financial crisis. And the first voice that you will hear is narrator Matt Damon, followed by author Charles Morris.
Since the 1980s, academic economists have been major advocates of deregulation and played powerful roles in shaping U.S. government policy. Very few of these economic experts warned about the crisis. And even after the crisis, many of them opposed reform.
The guys who taught these things tended to get paid a lot of money being consultants. Business school professors don't live on a faculty salary. They do very, very well.
Now, let's contrast this. And that was, I guess, in what you would call the traditional documentary style, right?
Right, very voiceover, so. kind of almost a frontline style.
So contrast that with a clip from Exit Through the Gift Shop by the artist Banksy. The voice you will hear here is the film's subject, the amateur French filmmaker, Terry Guetta.
He was even more than I expected. I mean, he was, like, just incredible. He was cool. He was human. He's really like what he represents, you know. He's really like, I think he's really like, I really liked him.
That's Terry worshiping on Banksy but not being able to find the words with the funny reverential music in the back. But any documentary might use a score like that.
Well, maybe not any. I think in this case it's particularly appropriate because the subject is mythologizing people through movies and kind of making someone seem legendary and even creating a legend where none actually exists.
And a third clip, this one from Restrepo, also nominated. This documentary has yet another style, with the camera simply witnessing and recording the actions and words of an American U.S. Marines unit in Afghanistan.
Hey, did you hear me go cyclic? I had the barrel smoked.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, what was that first burst about, cuz? You was crazy with it. Hey, as soon as I popped my head up, hey, Ollie, guess who? You just slid down the stairs.
I've been game planning it. I was like, yeah, we hit from there, obviously, I'll get on the 240, but I've been wanting to get on the 50 for a while now.
All right, from Restrepo. And you can tell even from those three very short clips the difference in the style to some degree. Matt, tell me if I'm wrong, but this observational style broke into documentary film with the direct cinema movement of the 1950s and 60s, right?
It did, with people like Robert Drew and D.A. Pennebaker and the Maysles brothers. And again, you know, I just have to keep riding this hobby horse. The Oscars are so often behind what is actually happening. And I was looking up stuff for this show, and I discovered that the Maysles had never been nominated for Oscars in, I think, until the mid-70s. And which means that classics, movies that you see by them, Salesman, Gimme Shelter, films like that.
Grey Gardens,
exactly. And that's true. You keep going through the line and you see these legendary, important names. Frederick Wiseman, for example, has never been nominated for an Oscar. You have to ask yourself,
kind of
what
cinema,
is wrong?
Cinema verite documentary style.
Yes.
Wiseman.
Yeah, the people who are showing us new ways to tell stories through nonfiction, and they are now classical styles. They were considered new and radical, and the jury was out on them for a number of years.
Errol Morris, too. Has he been nominated?
He finally did start getting nominated, but Gates of Heaven, for example, and I don't think The Thin Blue Line was nominated, although someone will surely correct me if I'm wrong about that.
Now, listeners, while we're having this conversation, I want to remind you and invite you that if you're planning to watch the Oscars on Sunday, you can do it with some of us at WNYC from the comfort of your own home, because during the Oscars, we are going to mount an online chat. I'll be taking part, as will lots of other hosts and producers from WNYC and WQXR. So from the comfort of your own home, just pull out a computer and join in the chat anytime during the Oscars. You can talk about your favorite movies, your least favorite outfits, all the awkward acceptance speeches, who goes over the top with politics, whatever. It starts at 8 o'clock this Sunday right on our website, WNYC.org. So spread the word and join us for our simultaneous online chat with the Oscars on Sunday night. Now, here's a documentary filmmaker calling in, Stephen in Manhattan. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So what'd you call to say?
Well, I called to say that cameras are everywhere in our world now, and yet we still can't seem to find some of the truths that we know are sort of bubbling under the surface. And I think there's a new hunger in this country especially with what's happening with the news media, to try to penetrate deeper into stories. We just took cameras into homes of people who, in Iraq and Afghanistan, who had suffered under American bombing. The Lancet study at Columbia estimates that 1.2 million Iraqi civilians have been killed, and it's seldom ever known by the American people.
Stephen, thank you. And so, Dana, documentary film serving a role that the news media is increasingly abdicating?
Yeah, I wanted to speak to something that caller said about cameras being everywhere. There's kind of a truism in film criticism that we're in a golden age of documentary. And I think, I mean, we're certainly, there's a much lower threshold for production of documentary than there's ever been before. And I think for the most part, that has been a really good thing. And I feel like almost every year for the past 5 or 6 years, there have been two or three really, really fantastic documentaries.
Oh, more than that, in fact. And I could compose an alternate list of movies that were not nominated this year that I thought were as good as or better than the ones that were nominated. And that happens almost every year. And in fact, sometimes the ones that get shut out are the best documentaries.
Another documentary filmmaker, Aubrey in Brooklyn. Aubrey, on WNYC, what would you look for in a best documentary award?
Hey, Brian. First time, long time.
Thank
well,
you.
I think that as a documentary filmmaker, you know, we do look to inform and to educate people about sort of things that are going on around them that they don't necessarily know about. But, you know, at baseline, you are looking at the same time for a really good story. And I think, you know, documentary filmmakers are at their heart storytellers. And so it's, you know, if you're going to just try to inform, then you might be a journalist or, a textbook writer.
So there's a whole other word.
Well, yeah. And
storyteller.
That's true. And I was going to say, building on something Dana said, one of the things that documentary cinema does that news media often does not do is show you how it feels to experience something, the impact on regular everyday lives. And there are a lot of documentaries that rely on history from the top down, where you're talking to the experts and the leaders and the kings. But so many of the great documentaries, and the Maisels were certainly pioneers in this, are about the people on the ground, the people whose names you don't know.
So we're just about out of time with Dana Stevens, film critic for Slate, co-host of Slate's weekly podcast, The Culture Gap Fest, and Matt Zoller Seitz, TV critic for Salon.com. Did you say you would vote, Dana, for Exit Through the Gift Shop?
I think I would, although with the proviso that I haven't seen one apparently very good documentary, Restrepo, which you played a clip from. All the others I have seen, and yeah, I'd choose Exit of those.
What would you vote for? You're on the spot, Matt.
Even if I hadn't enjoyed it so much, I would vote for Exit Through the Gift Shop just because my 70-year-old father and my 13-year-old daughter saw it together and spent 2 hours talking about it.
Oh, I love that fact.
Is that your prediction?
I think no, but I would like to see it happen. Well, I think it's a little too weird.
What is your prediction?
Oh, I'm going to say Inside Job.
And Dana, yours?
That sounds like a good call, because it's got a broad appeal, it's accessible, it is very well done.
Well, and it's about a catastrophic event in this country's
history.
That
had a direct impact on everybody
watching. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. And again, listeners, we invite you to join our live chat anytime during the Oscar broadcast on Sunday night beginning at 8 o'clock at WNYC.org. So I'll chat with you then and talk to you again Monday morning. Have a great weekend. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.